Hallelujah and praise God. How's everybody doing this morning? Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Amen. Excited about just today. Amen. Life, health, strength. Amen. That God has given us. Amen. And so just excited about this Sunday school lesson. Want to give reverence to God. Amen. Honor to our pastor, to our superintendent. Amen. Who is on the way. He's had to run a couple of errands this morning. Amen. And certainly, amen, we're excited about this Sunday school lesson on today. Amen. This lesson for today is Ambassadors for Christ. Amen. Ambassadors for Christ. Amen. And just as we get started this morning, amen, we're getting ourselves ready, amen, for a good experience here in the Word of God. Amen. Let's open up just quickly with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you right now. We give you praise and glory and honor. We adore you in this place on today. We magnify you. We lift up your name. We thank you, Lord, because we recognize, Lord, we are imperfect people, oh God, that we are not perfect, oh God. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are perfect in all of your ways and you continue to love us. And so, Lord, we ask right now that you forgive us of our sins, oh God, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit on the inside of us. We're just grateful for this opportunity on today, grateful for waking us up this morning, oh God. And Lord, we just want you to have your way, oh God. Our minds are open, our hearts are open to receive from you on today, Lord God. Traveling grace to those that are on their way to this place on today. And we thank you in the powerful, the strong, the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. He has done great things. Great things he has done. He has done great things. Great things he has done. He has done great things. Great things he has done. He has done great things. Great things he has done. Done. Amen. We serve a mighty good God. Amen. He is awesome in all of his ways. Amen. I am excited about this lesson, Ambassadors for Christ. Amen. And I wanted to start the lesson today, amen, with a declaration. Amen. One that we can all declare in this place. Amen. So I'm going to start. Amen. Hello. My name is Pastor Glover Jr. Amen. And I am an ambassador for Christ. Amen. So, amen. We can all place our names there. Amen. You can say, I am.
I am.
What's your name? I am.
I am Courtney Peterson.
Hello, Courtney. And
I am ambassador for Christ.
All right. All right. Becky on the back right here. I am. All right. Hello, Sister Maker, Dolores Berry. All right, I want to hear it. All right. David, come on, what is it?
I am David Washington.
Hello, David.
I am the best
friend. All right, all right.
I am Sister Linda Thompson.
Hello, Sister Linda Thompson.
I am the best
friend. All right, that feels good. That feels good. We've made the declaration in this place on today. This lesson is an awesome lesson, and that it talks about something that we were already, Brother Courtney, Peterson, as he came in today, that there's this, we're being compelled by God. Amen. God is compelling us in this ministry of reconciliation that we're going to talk about on today. And Paul had so many critics. Anybody got any critics? Any haters in your life? Anybody that just always hating on you, looking for you to fall instead of get up? Amen. Looking for you, amen, to be defeated instead of be successful, amen. Paul had a lot of critics that he had to deal with in his ministry. So that tells me that part of ministry life and walking in ministry, amen, is having the ability to deal with your critics. Amen. And not deal with them by putting them hands on them. not deal with them by putting my mouth on them. All right. Not deal with them by going to the trunk and popping it. Amen. And pulling something out the trunk. Amen. That's not how we fight. And so we deal with it, amen, by the love of God. And it's amazing how God continues to demonstrate his power, his love, and his authority in our lives. Amen. Good morning. Amen. 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 So we're going to read the scriptures. Let's get these scriptures read. Amen. And then we're going to jump, jump high into the scripture text. Amen. And we'll do a little talking, a little discussion. Amen. And getting ourselves ready for this lesson on today. So we're in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. All right, verses 11 to 21, amen. So 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 11 through 21, amen, amen. Good scriptures here for us to be able to get the mindset. Let's see what Paul was thinking. Let's see what his thought process was, amen. Our superintendent did an amazing job on last week, amen. Conveying to us, amen, and getting us ready for the lesson that we have on today, amen. And so I'm just really thankful to God that we have so many great teachers here at Rock of Ages that are willing to come right in, amen, and not, we don't have to twist any arms, amen. We don't have to call out the cavalry, amen, amen. And so I'm thankful to all of the teachers on today that continue to impart the word of God. Y'all remember on last week we talked about our heavenly dwelling. Amen. So this is not our home. That's what Courtney was just saying. Courtney just told me this morning. He just said that. This is what we talked about last week on Mother's Day Sunday. Superintendent talked about this is not our home. We are pilgrims that are passing through this land. Amen. And so since we know this is not our home, though, it does not change the fact that we do have an assignment. Okay. We do have a mandate while we're here. Amen. We're not just to be looking pretty, smelling good, looking nice, talking the right talk. Amen. Staying cool in this air-conditioned building. Amen. But there's so many opportunities. Amen. I think y'all might. Yeah, thank you, sir. Amen. Amen. As long as you hold on to them. All right. All right. So, ambassadors for Christ, let's read 2 Corinthians 5 and 11, amen. I see three of them are on my Zoom, but they might be occupied at the moment. Can we start with you, spare back there, and let's do 2 Corinthians 5 and 11.
Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. I will trust also are made. I trust also are made manifest in your
consciousness. Yes. All right. All right. Somebody read 5 and 12. 5 and 12.
But we commend not ourselves, but give you occasion to glory on your behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer glory in appearance and not in form.
Okay, okay. I see you. All right, 13. What does 13 say?
For whether we be beside our soul, it is to God.
Okay.
Whether we be sober, it is for your cause.
Loving it, loving it. Come on with 14, somebody.
For the love of Christ and strengthen. Because we thus judge that we that if one died for all men, we're all dead.
Okay, then we're all dead. Okay, okay. Come on, 15. Somebody read 15 for me.
And that he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again.
Okay, 16 someone.
and 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more.
All right, all right. Come on with 17. This is one that many of us speak for all the time. Who got it? Come forward.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
All right, 18.
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Come on with 19, somebody.
To wit, that God was in Christ,
reconciling.
That's okay. The world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses into them.
Okay.
And hath committed unto us the word of
reconciliation. There we go. Oh yeah. That gives me too. All them syllables, a lot of syllables, but we don't get down to the root of what that is. 20. Somebody read 20 for me.
Now then, we are ambassadors
of
Christ, as though God did beseech you by us.
Okay.
Pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God.
All right. Come on with 21. Last verse there. Anybody? Any takers?
For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
All right. Ambassadors for Christ. Amen. I'm really excited about this lesson because it's a continuation from where our superintendent was teaching on last week. Remember, I think the last verse, I don't know if it was 10 or 11 or 9. The judgment seat. Did I talk about that? Like the judgment seat? That was the, yeah, but we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Now, can we just pause, parenthetically pause right there and remember? We're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah. Because y'all know, like Jesus Christ, or should I say Christ Jesus, amen, is our gateway. That's the door. That's how we make it in. That's how we are cleansed. That's how we are made manifest before God, amen. It's by Jesus, amen. And when we get to the judgment seat, I can't get there and blame Sister LaShante Glove. I can't do that, Brother Lord. I can't get there and say, well, she didn't love me enough. She didn't cook. She didn't. And this is all untrue. She do all this. I just, somebody said, she do all this. No. I said, I can't blame her, amen, for anything. Amen. I can't blame my kids and say, they just weren't good enough kids. I can't blame my supervisor. I can't blame my pastor. I can't blame, amen, my supervisor. I can't blame my friends. I can't blame my mama, my daddy, my aunt, my grandparents. I'm going to have to stand before the judgment seat of God on my own two feet. Amen. And so this is important. This is why we always say, amen, you got to get your own relationship with God. Amen. So just coming to this place and you're saying, well, I'm coming because, my mama always asked me to come. My grandmama's always asking me to come. My daddy asked me, pastor them. I don't want them looking at me cross-eyed. Amen. You've got to get your own relationship with God. Amen. That last verse there says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. And I love that must. Because there's no way of getting around this, Brother David. But because the something that we don't like to talk about and that we hide from and that we try to act like it's never going to come, amen, is that death is always lurking.
Yes, always.
Yeah, death is always lurking. And now we know from, you can look at the news, amen, and know that there's not an age limit on death. Death is lurking and looking to get in, amen. I think the last verse that our superintendent read on last week, if you all recall, amen, was about how Jesus took the sting out of death. Amen. Oh grave, where is your victory? Amen. So, but because this is what Brother Courtney Peterson talked about this morning as we were sitting back there just chatting, amen. He said, I know I got a spot reserved for me. See, you got to know that you know that you know, amen, that despite life circumstances, despite what's going on, see, that always shows the sign of a repentant heart. See, a heart that is a heart that is a repenting heart is always turning back to God, saying, you know what? I want to change. I want to do something different. I want my life to have a meaning, to have some importance. You know, and it's my prayer that for all of us, amen, that we're not just living lives that are selfish and full of vainglory, trying to make a name for yourself. Because that was completely opposite of what Paul's ministry represented here in AD 56. Amen. And so we have a culture that has kind of developed in church where we kind of look out for ourselves. We have this selfish culture where we want to be recognized and we want the spotlight on us and we need attention. Amen. If I had to pay attention, amen, and if that was a commodity and I had to pay attention for all the people that just needed attention, amen, I'd never get to God. Amen. It's a lot of people that are just seeking attention. Amen. Not because they want spiritual enlightenment, not because they want God, not because they want the move of God in their life. They're looking for personal attention on them. Amen. And so Paul had some words here as he declared himself being an ambassador of Christ to remind us of our assignment. Does anybody know what an ambassador is? Anybody know what an ambassador is? Now, the U.S. got their own ambassador. You got a mic? Go ahead. Or somebody just grab a mic real quick and holler just for Sister Chrissy, that's the first lady that's on Zoom. Okay, I like that. A representative. And you the representative, come on, Sister Dave. Like the face of something, okay? Like that main person, like the not even that word or something, but I know what you mean. Like the face of an organization, of a kingdom, of a government. All right? You got one? Come on, superintendent.
Standing
in the stead of. Okay? Yeah, that's an ambassador. Amen. So can y'all see how all of these apply? How Paul is saying he is an ambassador, not for JP Morgan Chase. not for any corporate entity. Not for his church. It's important to understand that it's at that root level. Is that it's for Christ. Amen. And so, as ambassadors, amen, see, an ambassador goes in there, as somebody said, representative. You got one, Sister, come on. Ambassador.
I found an ambassador is the representative, official representative to a foreign country.
Okay, I like that too, because that's the traditional sense of how we see an ambassador. Like when you go to an embassy in a foreign country, the ambassador there is to speak on your behalf. Now, if we the ambassadors, amen, that means, and I like that you said, of a foreign country. That ties back into what we talked about on last week. The superintendent was rolling this. Did you want some? Or did I miss you?
No, she got it.
Okay. I just want to make sure. So that ties back into what superintendent was talking about last week. We got a heavenly dwelling place.
Yeah.
Right? So that means this is not our home, but we're ambassadors because we're from, amen, another place. Amen. We came birthed from the lowlands of God, amen, who sits in heaven. Amen. And so we know that at some point in life, God is looking for his spirit to return back to himself. Amen. He wants that spirit to return. Remember we talked about this on last week? How you want to have enough faith so that when that time comes, you want to be able to come on up. Amen. I don't want to spend no time down here. When I shut my eyes, to be absent from the body is to be immediately in his presence. All right? To be present with God. So I'm an ambassador for Christ. Amen. I'm an ambassador for Christ, representing the kingdom of God. That's our mandate. That's our assignment. Amen. Representing God's kingdom. Amen. Sister Perry, go ahead.
It can also be mean that it could be the official of declaration. How do you say it? Where the highest rank of the highest, you can go, is the ambassador.
Okay. Yeah, because you also see ambassador, you see this word diplomat.
That's it,
diplomat. So yeah, see, that's not a spirit word. You just throw it, toss it back between us, all right? So you'll see diplomat. Diplomat is the same thing as an ambassador. Diplomats have immunity. They go through and they're not, you can't charge them because they're not operating under the laws of where they are. They're from another place. I want y'all to see all this time back to us. Amen. We're here and we are governed. We have laws. We have all that goes on here. Amen. But we also have our rule book. Amen. Which is the word of God. Amen. That's our rule book. That's what we're governed by. Amen. Now we're going to render to Caesar what is Caesar and unto God what is God's. But amen, we're going to trust the word of God, right? So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about an ambassador for Christ. Now everybody ought to know this by now. I see like 13 million hands go up because we have 13 million people sitting here right now that I'm talking to. Amen. And so for all the 13 million that are in this place right now, when I say, what does it mean when we say Christ? What does Christ mean? Who is Christ? What does that word mean? Christ. All right. The, wait. A anointed one?
The.
Okay, because the is that article. I studied that in school, Jordan. Was it like the, a, or how do you say the, or it's another one. But that article, somebody say it? Okay, yeah. That article of the is a singular article that tells us that that's the only one. Amen. So when we talk about Christ being, Sister Mystic, the anointed one, amen, he is the one that was called out from the beginning of time to fulfill purpose that we needed here in life. And so I'm grateful for that. Here's Paul. Come on, Sister Mystic. Yeah, the risen one. That's him. Yeah, that's him. Amen.
Amen. Like you said, power.
Yeah. So when you think about the anointed one, amen. Do y'all know what yeah, some of y'all might know this. I don't know, but y'all know what anointing means? To anoint? What it means when you see that word anoint? So when and it means the same, I think, in the Hebrew and the Greek. Anybody know that word to anointing? It does that for sure. It is a yoke destroyer, amen. But it literally means when you hear anointing, that word means to smear. Did y'all know that? So it's to smear. So you know, like when you take something that's wet or something, you take it and you rub through it like that. That's what it is when you're anointed. It's to be smeared upon. Amen. It's God putting his hand on you. Amen. Also, when you think about the anointing is the excess righteousness of God. It's that excess, not even just righteousness, the excess part of your life that's in your spirit, man. Amen. That's the anointing that God is putting. That's why we all have a different anointing. Amen. It comes from the same source. We're all coming from the same Christ, because he is the anointed one. Amen. But we may not have all the same giftings. Amen. But they're all available. See, that's the other thing. So although we might have different giftings, different assignments, different but God is just smeared upon you, amen, for healing. He's smeared upon you for word of knowledge. See what I'm saying? He has smeared upon you for understanding. For he's smeared upon you. So that's why it's to those that will receive it. So when we talk about being an ambassador for Christ, here is Paul super excited. See, one thing that we got to get back to is being motivated for God. You gotta have a motivation. I am just frustrated and annoyed in some sense by Christians that are always walking around, amen, with the head down, sob story, amen, talking about woe is me, what has happened to me, amen. When we have, amen, access to God, amen, to Christ, amen. And so Paul had a motivation. And let me tell y'all something. See, this is the thing about it, because the thing that get me is when we try to say, well, I got so much stuff going on in my life. And y'all, have y'all read Paul's testimony? Have you seen? Nobody in this room that I'm looking at today has been through all the things that Paul went through. Amen. He was slave bitten, and he was shipwrecked, and he was in prison, and he was, I mean, all of this for Christ. Amen. But he always managed to keep a positive motivation about who God was, because he understood that the mandate that God had on his life was bigger than him. See, it's really not about you. I know it's hard for us to understand that, and because we live in a culture that is about building a name for yourself. It's about what you see is what you get. Because, you know, if you see somebody driving a Bentley, what comes to your mind? I mean, you see somebody rolling down the street in a Bentley, what do you think about that person? That's how we identify the culture, right? And that don't mean he could have rented that Bentley, right? The he or she could have rented the Bentley, and it could have been their last little cent that they used to rent the Bentley. But it's how we in our culture today identify with success and even in ministry. Even if we do the same thing, we're doing the same thing now in churches, because we'll look at a church and we assume because this church has this ministry, and this ministry, amen. And then we'll look at maybe a smaller church, and we'll say, well, you know, that church is not as influential, amen. But when we're talking about Christ, whether it's small or to the large capacity, which I can glory to God all, if you're doing it all, that's wonderful, amen. But if you're working on one, God's in glory, because that's where Paul was trying to get the Corinthians to understand. He wanted them to understand that you got to stay motivated for God. You got to stay motivated. You got to have a motivation. And that means that to stay positive for God in a culture that is not violent, that is pessimistic, and a culture that, you know, you can say something, you can tell somebody your dreams, and they'll tell you, oh, you ain't going to do that. I mean, shoot you all the way down and tell you, oh, no, you can't. I just poured my heart out to you. I told you what I'm looking that I wanted to achieve, and what I was trying to be, and what I wanted to do, and what the assignment was. And they said, oh, no, that ain't for you. That's for them. Amen. That's the culture that we live in. And we got to be careful that we don't bring that culture into the church.
Yeah.
Amen. But because with God, all things are possible. With God, not apart from Him. That don't apply apart. But with God, all things are impossible. Are possible. Amen. So watch this. So God puts thoughts in our minds. Because that's you know, that our mind is how we function. You know, it's how we say, okay, I gotta go to the bathroom. I gotta eat. I gotta remember to do this. It's in our mind. And then God will place a thought in your mind. Amen. And so if God places a thought, then He gonna place also the provision to fulfill that thought. Y'all know that? Do y'all believe that? That's and somebody said, I don't believe. But then when God gives it to you, then it's yours. See, y'all have y'all seen when you say, Lord, He will give us the desires of your heart? God will do it. He will do it. But understand who gave you the desire. See, that's how. See, when God gives you, if I give, I think we understand it.
I bet we understand it.
What's that? $10 bill, right? $10 bill. That's my $10 bill, right? All right. And so with this $10 bill, I can do with whatever I want to do with $10 bill, right? Is that right? Okay, y'all following? Okay. So she said, thank you. Now I gave her the $10 bill, right? Now, I gave her the $10 bill, but now the $10 bill is in her hand, so whose $10 bill is it now? It's hers. Y'all see, that's how God gives us the desires of our hearts. He gives it to you. That's yours. Because I gave that to you. This is yours for real. You first. Amen. Yeah, so when God gives you, the desires of your heart, he literally plants. He makes a deposit in your life, y'all. And so now that's yours. But watch this. Because now it's yours and the desire is there, you're going to do you're going to do with it what was already intended for it to be done with. If that makes sense to you. That's how God begins to fulfill things in our life. That's what Paul was trying to get these people to understand that first, in order to get a motivation for God, this is something a superintendent that we talk about, and we talk about all the time when in our one-on-one talks with each other, is that people are lacking, watch this, the fear of the Lord. I don't know what happened across generation after generation after generation. Now, that was a time that whether you was a criminal, I mean, whether you was in God's will or out of God's will, whether you was a believer or an unbeliever, when you say God, there was something that just made you say, ugh. You bowed on the inside. Amen. I mean, now we live in a culture, amen, that I've seen people use expletives with God in the same sentence. Oh, God. Yeah. I've seen people use expletives directed, not even at you, but directed at God. You tell them about God, and they tell you do what you with your God. Amen. So we're living in a different place. And Paul was saying the reason he stayed motivated is because he knows that the judgment day is coming. So y'all, people, but because so much time keeps elapsing, and we keep saying it ain't coming. It ain't coming. Amen. But we're all going to die one day. Amen. And we're going to stand before the judgment seat of God, amen. And for what we did that was right in the body or wrong, we're gonna have to, amen. We're gonna have to answer to that. And so that's why Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. When he gets into that, he's talking about his motivation for gospel ministry. See, if we don't know anything else about the Bible, this is what Pastor Gordon told me too. If I don't know Genesis to Revelation, see, when you come up and you make your profession to Christ before the body of Christ, when you do that, amen, Pastor Glover, myself, somebody going to say, hey, do you believe that Jesus came, right? That he was put on the cross, crucified, amen, placed in the tomb, and then he resurrected. Because that's the gospel story. That's if you don't know that, because then why are you sitting here? if God didn't provide the plan of salvation for your life. And so our motivation should be understanding what God has, he's already done. See, it's already finished. I'm not talking about what needs to be done. I'm talking about God through Christ has already finished the work, so that it gives us the opportunity for salvation, amen. Paul reminded the Corinthians that we are already manifest before God. Don't you know God already know us? We we gotta remember that we can't hide nothing from God. We are made plain before God, amen. We're made plain, amen. And Paul's hope was that it would be plain also to our conscience. See, our conscience, amen, is always at work. It's always at work. Amen. It's that part of us that our moral barometer. Amen. It says, that's just not right. Amen. As we begin to develop into mature Christians, we begin to recognize that our conscience, amen, many times, it's the Holy Spirit. It's what guides us. It's what teaches us. It's what gives us direction, amen. It's that part of us that begins to talk back and say, I don't think that's a good idea. have you ever been doing this? Like, I just don't have a good feeling about this. Amen. Not only that, have you ever just somebody pop up on you and you like, something just ain't right with them. I need to try to exit. I need to try to get out of here quickly. Something about to go down. I just don't agree. It doesn't agree with my spirit. Amen. That's our spiritual barometer. Amen. So he says in 12, I'm going to read this out of the Christian Standard Bible. So he says, we are not committing ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to be proud of us. See, y'all, it should be, we should all be excited about ministry, about when we are bringing somebody to Christ. Amen. Paul was trying to get them to take their eyes off of him as a person. Y'all know we get stuck on people. Is that right, Superintendent? We get stuck on people. Somewhere in this room, talk about how we get stuck. Oh, it's coming up. How we get stuck on appearances. We get stuck on outward. How we perceive somebody, what I see, and we get stuck on those character traits with somebody. Amen. And it's hard for us to shake that, amen. And God is was speaking through Paul to say, we got to be able to see the inward part. Yeah, there you go. Sister Linda Thompson said, the heart. See, the heart, amen, is the part that God wants us to get in tune with. Amen. That's why, you know, some of us, we won't deal with somebody from the street, dog. We won't deal because we feel like we're above that. We feel like, you know, I do this and I pay this and I do this, and so but that tell me right there you missing the heart of what ministry is all about, right, Brother Orland? I mean, that's what servitude is about. Can you imagine Brother Orland going out to a call and saying, nah, I can't serve you. I can't or, you know, going out and they called asking for, that's what they'll call you, just be like, hey, how you doing today? Didn't want to say what's up today. So if I'm asking for help, then I expect to be helped. So that's and if we can understand when the ambulance come out, you call them out and they tell you, no, I can't, I don't deal with people like you. The fire truck, your residence or property or something on your property is on fire, and you call the fire people, they look at you and they say, no, I don't deal with people that look like you, that talk like you, any kind of, and they just turn around, amen. But you're asking for help. that's what I'm talking about. We talk about the culture that is kind of out there. We got to be able to be influential, amen, in the culture that we're in, amen. So we should be culture changers, amen. When people see us, amen, we should be the differentiator. We shouldn't be operating under the same modus operandi as everybody else is in the world. Amen. You know, of course, God gives us wisdom, all that good stuff, but we're not even talking about all that today because some of us, we know what we're supposed to do. That's the thing. Now, not some of us. We know what we're supposed to do. It's just a matter of, I just don't want to do it. You know what I'm saying? That's just not something that I feel like is important right now. But that's where priorities begin to come in life. You begin to see everything that Jesus did. You know, even got the song, so everything that Jesus did was somebody else. Amen. Jesus didn't go and just start off dealing with the Pharisees and the scribes. He dealt with them, but he had to deal with them because he was dealing with other situations. You see what I'm saying? He wasn't trying to cause the spotlight on him going to the temple. That wasn't what he called. He would go and deal with the maimed and the lame and the cripple and those that were the underdogs of society. Amen. And that's what God is called. That's why we tell people, you come into ministry, if you really want to be a minister. You know, this ain't no glamour walk. This ain't where you want to come out. Let me just take some pictures and look at me now. And this is not a cakewalk. This is ministry is work. Amen. It's work. And it's real assignment that the Lord compels and presses upon your heart. Enjoy.
Even like Minister Lynn always says too, ministry is a lot about love too. You can't be
skip ahead.
Even when it comes to ministry.
Now you're there, so we already there. This is in verse 14 for those that come on, brother Trey.
When I say ministry, I don't necessarily mean like a pastor or a minister, but I just mean ministry in general. That means we all should be doing some type of witnessing. So it even comes to witnessing, you can't witness somebody if you don't love them. So it's gonna come out wrong.
Right.
You're gonna end up saying something you're not supposed to say, something not gonna go right. So it's all about love. But then another thing is how she's talking about a lot of people judge their church. So a lot of the people, they're not in church because they feel like when they get here, they're being judged. Right. So that means most of the work is outside. So right. We're getting fed in here, we're getting our cups full, but we have to make sure that it's not, like I said a few weeks ago, it's not getting wasted. You have to make sure you're going out and giving that open soul to someone else. And so they can go and fill the cup up and give it to somebody else. It should be like a domino effect. It should be going, going.
Amen. We gotta give what you get.
Yeah.
I need to be a t-shirt, amen. You got to give what you get. It's not just holding on to what you get, amen. I like what Superintendent just said, too. Like, we just sit up in here, we just look at all pretty, and everything's so good, and then we just go home to our houses. We get in our transportation, and then we go on to our residence, wherever it is, amen. And then we eat, and then we watch TV, and then we get on these phones and on our devices and everything, and then we sit. I mean, this is like, and then we go to, for those of us employed, you're going to work, you're coming back, you're doing it. It just becomes like this sick cycle. and nowhere in the cycle. Now, he saves you, and he being Christ saves you, amen. It seems like there would be some type of inflection in your mind that would say, wait a minute, I received something great. And this is the part me and Logie talk about, Sister Shante and Logie talk about this all the time, and my mother as well. If God saved you, it's hard. I mean, I'm talking about if you really saved. I'm not, I mean, but if God saved you and you were, some of us can't even think back far enough to remember the zeal that we had. We're like, man, I just want to tell everybody about what the Lord has done in my life, what he's doing in my life. Amen. But there should be some compulsion on the inside of you that just wants to pass that on. Now, if we can pass on recipes, if we can pass on coupons, if we can pass on restaurants that are good food and good movies, and we can tell people about that, why is it so difficult for us to have that same inclination and say, you know what, I just want to be able to tell you about the God that changed my life. I want to be able to tell you about what he did in my life. And people, you have opportunity. Because God sent people to you. Sometimes people will catch you, they will come like Nicodemus by night. They won't do it in front of everybody, but they'll come and say, I see something different about you. You don't like grow like the way everybody else grow. You know, what's up with you? That's the equivalent of somebody saying, I want what you got. I mean, what is it? What you drink? You know, when people, some of y'all know you go to the bar and they ask you, say, hey, what you drinking? You say, okay, well, give me that too. You know, that's the equivalent of that. What's Jesus juice? You know, this is what I am. This is who I am. And so we've got to have this compulsion on the inside of us. Amen. To be able, one of the things I pray every morning, I say, Lord, let me be a light. I want to be a lighthouse to somebody, a beacon of light is what I always tell them. I want to be a beacon. I always think of a lighthouse that just keeps turning like that. You know, a lighthouse always gets your attention. You know, if you're sitting out, there's one out right there in by Kima. And when Sister Glover and I used to stay at the hotel there in Clear Lake, when you look out, it's turning. And no matter where you are, it gets your attention. That's how I want to be. I want to be a lighthouse that draws people. Amen. But watch this. When I draw people, what am I going to give? I'm going to tell them, well, you know what? I went to this university and, you know, I traveled. I'm a member of this group and this fraternity, this sorority, this organization. I also, yes, so you know, I'm bankrolling, you know, X figure, and I'm my whip is la 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 la, and I live over by such and such, and I know the mayor and the president, and I know. Is that what we're giving people? Are we, you know, it's like, is that what we're giving them? Or we just say, you know what, hey, it's not about us. Amen. It's all about Jesus. It's about when those opportunities present themselves, it's not a moment for you to go on a selfish tirade and tell them about everything you've achieved in your life. Amen. God is looking to us, and see, this is what I'm saying. It's our responsibility as an ambassador. As a foreign, we're coming from we're going from this, that we're foreign advisors, amen. And so we got to make known the things of God. That's why Jesus came, to reveal God, amen. And so now we're sitting in his stead, and we are still going there. We are revealing God. I don't care what people walk around. People can walk around, amen, they hate God, they do whatever, amen. It's a peace in us that is always connected to God, amen. Part of it requires patience. That's our biggest thing. We got no patience. I know that ain't good English. I know that's going to upset some people, amen, but we don't have no patience. We have no patience, amen. And this is what my mother used to tell me, and that's what came into my mind. But because this labor of love, because it's a labor of love. Somebody got to spend time with you, Sister Crystal, amen. Brother Zach up here, somebody spent time and labor, amen. When I was like, I don't want that. I was called at the age of 8 years old. Amen. Accepted my calling at 16. This means I was 16 years old. You know, around 16, I was like, I still want to try to see what's going on. You know, I don't want to be talking about God. Amen. But somebody was laboring. Amen. And then that, before, as I began to spend more time with God, and then had no idea that this was the assignment that he had over my life, amen. I wouldn't have met my beautiful wife, amen, if I would have not been in this assignment. I would not have Crystal and Trey if it would not have been part of the assignment, amen. And we focus in our family, amen. Ministry is important, amen. Many of you know you called us. You called us. When you call lives and you say something going on, amen, you're going to get the tag team with it. Because we are all full. Yeah. Gordon just saw it right now. When we in ministry mode, I'm gonna give you a little something. Why ain't he gonna give you something? If Crystal and Trey, they would have given you something. It's about stopping, taking a moment to pause. We move too fast. We're not patient enough to sit and wait for somebody. And somebody has to sit and wait for you, and you be like, well, they don't want it right now, then I can say a word about it. That's not right. That's not right. We gotta operate as Brother Trey said. In this labor of love. See, love constrains you. Amen. The definition I'm thinking here, some couples ask me that, means to be inwardly compelled to press on to face adversity. But it also means to just be kept, to be guided by. See, everything we gotta do it out of love. We gotta do it out of love. And that means, watch this, some of us are scared to admit it, but we don't really know what love is.
Yeah.
And I can tell that you don't really know what love is. I'm just being honest with you. Love is something that the Holy Spirit gives. And that's why anything that we don't know, we don't have to feel beneath or like be like, oh, I don't know what love is, so you know, I'm just horrible. No. Amen. The Spirit gives liberally to those that ask, and we got to just spend time and say, Lord, I don't understand. Maybe your upbringing wasn't my upbringing, that's for sure. And my upbringing was not your upbringing, that's for sure. Amen. And so there are places, there are gaps in our lives where we're missing little pieces of the puzzle, but it's not the end. Because you're living. And so as long as you're living, amen, you got a moment to process and say, Lord, I want to get there. I want to love like you love. I want to see things through the eyes of Christ and not see people through the eyes of this culture, from a worldly perspective, amen. I don't want to judge people by their outward appearance. I want to
want to be able to see people's hearts. See, that should be somebody's prayer right there. Lord, I don't want to judge people by their outward appearance. I want to be able to see their inward parts. I want to be able to feed their inward part. I want to love on them. You know how many people are just lacking self-esteem? They're looking good, smelling good, and saying all the right words. Looks like fully functional adults and kids, amen, but are dysfunctional in every way. They just know how to put on something for the culture to meet the culture's need, amen. But they're hurting on the inside. Hurting. I'm talking about full flesh hurt. I'm talking about bleeding on the inside. Looking for help. But when help comes, because they don't know how to, because they haven't been taught how to love, they don't know how to receive the help. And so when help comes, and help is standing right there, who does not help? You roll your eyes at help. You press down help. You oppress it. You cut yourself off from help. You draw back from help. And help is available. It's just like, y'all remember that? Y'all heard the story about the man who was sitting there hanging from a rope? And then as he was in there hanging off the side of a cliff, and y'all heard the story where the helicopter came, Brother AJ, and said, "Hey, let me rescue." He said, "No, I'll wait on the Lord." Amen. The boat passed by and raised the crane up. Amen. Said, "Hey, come on down this ladder. We got safe." He said, "No, I'm just waiting on the Lord." Amen. Somebody reached over, amen, and put a rope down and said, "Come on, let me pull you up." He said, "No, I'm just waiting on the Lord." Amen. So then he falls, Brother Courtney, off the cliff. And he don't live. He died. He falls down off the cliff. He dies. He gets to heaven. And he gets there before God. And he's like, "Hey, you know, I was waiting on you to help me. Why didn't you come, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I sent a helicopter. I sent a boat. I sent your buddy to come and pull you up. It just wasn't what you wanted to receive as help." That didn't preach right there. You got to make you preach up in your mouth. Because help doesn't always come in the way that you want it to look and the way you want it to receive it. And it may not be articulate. And help may not be this nationality or this gender or this ethnicity or this age or this. We don't know, but help is there. God said he's going to send us help. Amen. And so help is available.
When I was downtown, I used to walk going from the bus to the Fannin building. We were in that building. There was a gentleman I would pass by all the time, you know, and so we would, you know, as I was ordering my breakfast or something from a place he'd be in there, I said, "Hey, you want me to order something?" So ordered him something. He came and sat down with me. We talked. We were chopping up a little bit, and come to find out, I talked to him, and he was like superintendent was saying, he was a professor. Like, at some point in his life, he was a professor. At TSU, older gentleman just had fallen on some hard times and some things that happened in his life. But as I began to talk, very articulate, like a very articulate man, you couldn't judge the exterior of somebody. Because it was easy for me just to be like, "Oh, that's just somebody that just wants something from me."
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? They're just looking. Because we always think somebody trying to get something from you. And I don't know why we try to hold on to everything we got. Everything we got, we try to hold on to it. And you know, the other thing I was just going to say real quick, too, is that until you can identify and help yourself, you can't help nobody else.
You can't help nobody else.
Because everything you get out of, you gotta be able to deal with you first.
That's right.
Amen. So some of us, you know, don't take this message that you like, "I'm ready to just go out and help." But some of us need to help ourselves. Like, it's some stuff that needs to be dealt with. It's some issues that need to be. And I'm talking about stuff that only the Lord can do. You know, we can go into prayer, we can do all that, and be, but there has to be that willingness there inside of you that, like, "I want to see something different. I'm looking, as Paul said, not at the exterior, I'm looking at the inward parts, looking for change." But there has to be that desire there to want to do something better for you. Because, you know, you've heard the expression, hurt people. You know, if you already hurt, that's what you know how to distribute. That's what you know how to pour out. And so there comes this capacity on the inside of you when that's what you know. You see what I'm saying? So that's what you're going to put out. And so we got to be able to
really spend some time on ourselves on an individual capacity as well, individual level.
Amen. Y'all, this is all good. Let
me see if I can get. So Trey talks about the love of Christ constraining us. How many of y'all know Jesus died?
Yes.
Did he die for just for one person?
Yeah.
Okay, so some say he died for all. Amen. And so because he died, we live. And so because we're living, amen. You know, somebody, we know this even from our earthly perspective, somebody put their life on the line for you. Don't you feel compelled? Right? To some inside of you say, I just want to, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? You say, even people like, some people talk about veterans and talking about different things, if somebody, a veteran buddy or somebody just, saved your life in some capacity, maybe you were in addiction and they were able to keep hammering in and saying, no, don't do this. You don't have to live this way. It's a better way. That's a better, anytime somebody saves your life, there is a compulsion there. There's something inside of you that says, now what can I do for you? The only time it seems like it don't work is for Christ Jesus. Because he did die. Amen. He died. He was buried. He resurrected with all power. Amen. And then once he gave us back life, we took that life and ran with it. And we never looked back. and we told him we'll get back to you when we need you. We'll holler at you when things are going bad. We'll holler at you when we need to take a moment to feel holy and to take in a little God. We'll welcome you back in for a moment, but we're going to get you back out. And so he's the only one that seems like he's misunderstood from that perspective, that he gave life to us, when we give a life back to him. Your life is not your own. You know, we sing all these songs. I don't think we sing that. Say, my life is not my own. Yeah, to you I belong. I give my life, or I give myself to you.
Yeah.
That's what that part of the song is saying. Because I shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be here. Amen. It's because of him. Then he goes down a little bit further. What he say? He say, I don't know him after the flesh, after this worldly perspective. Amen. See, the flesh will never identify with the things of spirit. The flesh is contrary to the spirit. The flesh don't want to know the spirit. The flesh is not interested in the spirit. Amen. The flesh is interested in the things of the enemy, the devil, Beelzebub, Lucifer. Amen. The dragon. Anybody got that many aliens? I don't fool with them anyway. Amen. You got that many names. Amen. Out on the streets. Amen. I don't want to fool with you. Amen. So he said, that's what the flesh do. But I'm coming to you like after Christ. Amen. This, I'm trying to change things up. That's why if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And that's double. We preach this all day. If he was here right now, he'd tell you now new is not brand new. It's relatively new. All right, man, you're a used model, but God is upgrades. Amen. Don't get mad at me. Amen. So you ain't brand new. Amen. You ain't brand new. Amen. So everybody come in, amen. And you know how I know you ain't brand new, amen? Because we got so many things that through life has influenced us in different ways, amen, and gave us biases and prejudices and just life in general happening, amen. And so we ain't brand new no more. But when we come in, amen, we're relatively new. Amen. We are a used model that's been upgraded, amen, but you got some miles on you. Oh, yeah, don't look at me crazy, amen. You got some miles on you, but watch this. But the engine still start up. Amen. You still can hit the road. You're still going the purpose that God has fulfilled you to do. Amen. And so that's what we get excited. Say, we're a new creature. All things are passed away. Amen. And let me tell you this. That's a process, man. That don't happen overnight. You don't just drop off somebody, I want God, and it just all the taste of the world and everything just fall out your mouth. It's a process. This is what we're telling people with this ministry of reconciliation. The whole all things do become new, though. They become new. All things are of God who have reconciled us to himself. Amen. Jesus is how we got back to God. Amen. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So God didn't charge us with our sin. Amen. That was all put on Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. You know, there used to be a song, somebody, he dropped the charge. the charges have been dropped against you, amen. Jesus took all the charges, amen, on his shoulders, amen, and took them to the cross, all right? Now that's why we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors. Now, we started off making a declaration, so I'm going to end up making a declaration because I got to cut off here. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, okay. I'm Pastor Glover Jr.
Hello, Pastor Glover Jr.
I am an ambassador for Christ.
All right.